This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Chaos. We want chaos. That's it. I mean, chaos is the bedrock of this show. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. In case you missed the news of the day, Giannis is going to be out for the first part of the series. The Bucks preparing to be without him for the start of the playoffs. That's the word from Woj. They are hoping that with treatment that maybe he might be available later in the series against the Pacers. Here is Wendy right now, though. Wendy has offered an awful lot to this show today, whether it comes from the standpoint of the Bucks having to worry about Giannis and what he wants in the future after this season, and whether it's this, how the first round of these NBA playoffs, Joe, he said this morning on Sportsmanlike, that they are just wide open right now.
With the exception of the Celtics and the Nuggets, any other series that plays in this final in this first round, I don't think you can have a quote-unquote upset.
Wow.
I think the talent is pretty that tightly packed.
What's your initial reaction to hearing that, especially off the Giannis news?
The first thought is, nah, that can't be right. And then you sit there and you think about it, and it doesn't take, it doesn't take very long to realize that he's absolutely right. You take the Celtics and the Nuggets, the teams that everyone would agree are the best two teams in the NBA, the teams that are at the top of the heap. I understand Denver's not the number one seed, but they're the best team in the West. They're the defending champs, and that's not the only reason why they're at the top. And we look at them and we say, if anyone's to take those two out in the first round, that would be a genuine shock. Denver going down, Boston going down, genuine shock. Outside of that, teams at the top in the West are young, unproven teams. That's not going to surprise a lot of people if they get knocked out in the first round. In the East, you have some banged up teams. You have some teams that you're not really sure how all the way bought in they are. Teams with lots of flaws. And you're not going to be surprised to see the Knicks go down if they end up getting a matchup with a team like the Sixers, who everyone's falling in love with right now. So I think Wendy makes a great point there. I think outside of those two premier teams, there are question marks everywhere. And we shouldn't be surprised if we get what some would consider to be surprises.
Okay, so I have in front of me the ESPN bet odds on each series, and we can get into the odds, but also perceptually what the upset would be in a particular series if it in fact exists.
Is that a word, perceptually?
It is now.
It is now. Okay. I'm good.
Listen, again, English degree qualifies me to create words. I don't know if you knew that. With that in mind, first of all, let's start Bucks Pacers. With the Giannis news that he is not going to start the series, how would you expect that to be affected by this in terms of the odds and in terms of who wins this series?
I'm going against the grain a little bit here. I would play Milwaukee because now the price is reduced all the way to minus 130 after opening at minus 190.
But I think down at minus 120 right now on ESPN.
See, okay, so like look at that, minus 120. I mean, the bookmakers knew there was a chance he wasn't going to play. So now we find out he's not going to play, and all of a sudden it plummets by that percentage. I think now would be the time to buy on Milwaukee, considering this Pacers team, 24th in defensive efficiency, not exactly a juggernaut. That said, to answer your question, if the Pacers end up winning this, it's not going to surprise me in the least. This series right here, whoever wins this series, there is literally no shock to me at all. What about you?
I would agree with that. I don't think there's a major upset either way. You know how down I have been on the Bucks lately, and when I factor the Giannis part of this in, that to me means it's at least two games, and if we're going to panic and bring him back in a game three, if you're down two games to none, that's just asking for it. Pacers are an even money bet right now to win this series. I would probably bet the Pacers, but am I going to be shocked? I am not.
Are most people going to be surprised if Milwaukee wins this? It feels like most people will be surprised if Milwaukee wins rather than Indiana, given the Giannis news.
Well, I think that's fair.
Jeez.
I think given the Giannis news, I think that's fair. Okay, how about the Celtics as the one seed against the eight seed, which would either be the Bulls or the Atlanta Hawks? Now, I don't have a number in front of me here on what that would be, since we don't know the opponent yet, but if the Bulls or the Hawks beat the Celtics...
Well, remember, it can also be the loser of the Philly-Miami game.
Oh, that's true. Excuse me, you're right. Philly-Miami, whoever loses that game would be playing against the winner of the Bulls-Hawks game. So, with that in mind, I know Wendy kept the Celtics out of it. I'd have to say that anybody that beat the Celtics there would be a huge upset.
I'm not going to waste any additional time on this. Completely agree. No one's taking out the Celtics in the opening round. Maybe if it's Miami or Philly, it's a little feisty. But no, the Celtics aren't going down in the opening round.
The Knicks against either Philly or Miami. That's the 7-8 game, and the winner of that game is the 7 seed. I think if the Heat beat the Knicks, that would be a sizable upset.
Would it? Considering the whole Heat culture crap we have to listen to from Amber Wilson every single year?
Yeah, I think that would be a pretty big upset. I mean, that would be a big upset to me.
But they always turn it on in the playoffs. That's the narrative. Like, Miami turns it on in the playoffs. So if they turn it on, why are we going to be so surprised?
Here's why I'm going to be surprised.
Especially since the Knicks don't have Randall.
I think it's pretty clear that Jimmy Butler is not the same player that he has been.
Okay.
So playoff Jimmy... I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think he shows up this year to that level. I think he ups his game, but I don't think he can be what he has been in years past.
I mean, if it's Philadelphia, we talked about it yesterday. Yeah. The bookmakers would basically make it a -110 both ways, and they would expect Philadelphia to probably become a small favorite once the market has its say. Knicks might open as a small favorite because they'd have the 4 home games should it go 7, but very tightly contested matchup. So if the Knicks were to prevail against a Philadelphia team that's battled some injuries, I don't think that shocks people. Philly beating the Knicks isn't going to shock anyone because everyone thinks that's the team to beat in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, if Philly beats the Knicks, I am not going to be shocked.
Okay.
If the Knicks beat Philly, I'll be a little bit surprised.
So far, Wendy's thesis really holding strong.
Okay. Cleveland against Orlando. Here are the odds. Cleveland -190 favorites. Orlando at +150 to win this series. Is there an upset either way here in your mind?
Yeah, the Magic winning this would be an upset. You know where I stand on Cleveland. I think their little cowardly approach of let's go ahead and tank this game so we can set up a better matchup. Like, you send a nice big message to the fans, but more importantly to your locker room that you don't think you're good enough to beat certain teams. And once that's up in the air, you're not going to win anything of consequence. However, you're playing Orlando here. And as much as Orlando's been very good to me this season, everybody knows you bet Orlando when they play bums. You bet against them when they play real teams. Like, their record against teams with a record of 500 or better, it's like 8-27 or something. They've been terrible against teams that are good this season. So them beating Cleveland, that would be a surprise for me.
Noticed a lot of chatter on ESPN Bet Live at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Is that what time it is today?
Yeah, we're 6 p.m. Eastern today, yeah. ESPN2. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of chatter about a particular Cavaliers butt tattoo situation.
Yeah, the butt cheek bet. Kendrick Perkins came on and agreed with me. He said my booty should be fine. But everyone, it turns out now, is rooting for the Cavs to win the East, so I have to get this logo tattoo on my left butt cheek.
We need the clip of Kendrick saying, your booty should be fine.
Yeah. He did misspeak, though. He referenced the right butt cheek. It is, in fact, the left butt cheek that would be getting the tattoo.
I'm kind of surprised that you've already opted for the left butt cheek. Does that mean that the right butt cheek is already taken and there's not a lot of space left?
Moving along.
Okay. Let's move to the Western Conference, shall we? Oklahoma City is the number one seed against whoever the eighth seed is. New Orleans, the Lakers, Sacramento, the Warriors. Would any of those be an upset in your mind if they beat the Thunder?
I think they all would be, because I want to give the Thunder their respect. They had a hell of a season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a bona fide, legitimate MVP candidate. I want to believe they'd be the favorite against all four. I'd want to believe they could beat all four. But I'm also a realist, and I understand that it's going to be a grind against a team specifically of the Lakers' caliber, given the veteran presence there of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So I can't say I'd be shocked to see them go down against one of those teams, but I'd be very disappointed. I'd be very disappointed that all that hard work on OKC's behalf led to a quick first round exit.
That's how I would say it. Stunned? No. Yeah. Disappointed? Yes. Yeah. Very disappointed. But I will be surprised, but not stunned, if Oklahoma City loses in the first round. Nuggets against either the Pelicans or the Lakers. I will be absolutely floored if the Nuggets lose in the first round.
Yeah, complete agreement. No need to spend a lot of time on this one. Full believers in the Denver Nuggets. I can respect New Orleans and the Lakers, just not in this matchup. I don't think they're going to be going up against anyone that's all that tough.
Timberwolves against the Suns.
I misspoke on that. I was too busy looking up at the fact that we lost this Rangers bet or about to lose this Rangers bet. Yes, I would be surprised if they beat someone that tough, is what I meant to say.
Timberwolves and the Suns. Timberwolves are even money. Even money. Suns minus 120 in this series.
This could go either way. This is not going to lead to a surprise at all. This is a very compelling series. Money's coming in on Phoenix. People believe that Phoenix has Minnesota's number, that Minnesota just doesn't have the offense to get past Phoenix, although they do have an elite defense. Anthony Edwards has not performed all that well against Phoenix this season. I'm not writing off Minnesota, though. You bring the league's top defense into a matchup in the playoffs, I'm going to give you some support. So there's no surprises in this one. What about you, considering we were both pretty down on Phoenix a few weeks ago?
Put it this way. I can't call it an upset, but I'm going to be surprised.
Okay.
I'm going to be surprised if Phoenix wins this series, because I've heard, from you notably, but from many, about the Minnesota defense and how good it's been all year. And I know that the Suns do not defend anyone. I mean, honestly, they just absolutely do not have interest in it, and it's disappointing to me, and especially to your point earlier when we were talking about Giannis and the super teams. Well, they're trying to throw everything they can at this with bringing in the three big stars. It's not going to work, and you watch. Durant will want his way out soon.
Ooh.
You watch. That'll happen.
Could be some nice drama.
Last one. Clippers, Dallas. Now, the odds not on the board right here. I think that probably has more to do at the moment with where we stand with Kawhi's knee. But to that, I would say that we have just tied this game up at one in the top half of the fifth inning. Nobody out as Ezekiel Duran delivers for the Texas Rangers.
Going to need one more to have a shot at covering this run line, but we are live. No outs, runner on first. That's a big RBI right there.
Bingo. Bingo, bingo, bongo. Right back in it. I think we were talking about the Clippers in Dallas, but the Clippers.
No surprises, right? No surprises here.
No, and you know what? I'm really trying to figure out if I'm supposed to buy into the idea that Dallas is playing this great defense over the last, 20 games, and that's really what it's more like right now. That's really more of a telling stat of what they are.
They've been very good. But if I have a hunch, this is just a hunch. It's not rooted in anything but a hunch. I think the Clippers have been sandbagging a little bit on this Kawhi Leonard injury. I think they're opening their new arena next year. They want to make a deep run in the playoffs. They understand they weren't going to get a one seed, so they were just getting nice and rested and healthy for the playoff push because they know they have enough talent to be dangerous. I like them over Dallas. But again, that's just a hunch. That's not rooted in anything other than my own crazy brain.
Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. We are on the Texas Rangers today in a
who
little game betting
was that
alert.
Who just struck out looking? Three pitches.
Walsh.
Talk about destroying the Big Mo in a matter of 15 seconds. Mize is rattled, and this dude strikes out looking on an 0-2 curveball. That thing's right in the middle of the zone. He hung it up there.
Yeah, I don't know what he's looking for.
Terrible
right there.
At bat.
So we've got the Rangers minus a half run through five innings. We are in the top half of the fifth inning, tied at one with the Tigers. Rangers have a runner on first and one out, so they've got two outs to score another run to give us a chance. Otherwise, we are dead in this bet. We are at the juice at plus 115.
Day betting alert.
So we have been on this today. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Nikola Jokic, he's going to be the NBA MVP, right? Base hit right field, first and second, one out.
There we go.
Jokic, the MVP.
Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave. Better by Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit.
This is the most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with.
The Chicago Bears select
the NFL Draft, Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
You think you know what Jim Harbaugh is going to do? Not so fast. We'll explain. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. When you're trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, and interviewing can become a job itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Joseph.
Hey, betting alert.
Marcus Semien delivering with two out in the clutch for the Rangers with an RBI single. It is 2-1 Texas as they play top five with two on for Corey Seager right now. We have the Rangers minus a half run through five innings against the Tigers at plus 115.
We were up against it. We were down to our last out, but we are in a position where we have a chance to win. Seager was 3-0 with two in the zone fastballs. What is this? Is this a moonshot?
Did he get it? He didn't get it.
No, at the warning track. That would have been a three-run shot.
Yeah, Casey
come on,
Mize,
Seager. Put some muscle into it.
Count yourself lucky, Casey Mize. Wow, right. He didn't have to leap at the wall, but a nice catch at the wall by Detroit that averts a three-run homer for Corey Seager. So we go to sweat it out, bottom five, 2-1 Texas.
Get the sauna heated up, boys. This one's going to be a sweat.
All right, John Gray, get us out of this squeeze box.
I would love to bet right now that the first batter in this inning is getting on the bases. I that's how this is going to play. You know it. First guy up, just right on first base. We're right to the bases, and then here comes the sweat. But neither here nor there at the moment.
Right.
Neither here nor there at the moment. Let's take an opportunity here to get our blood pressure down as we are headed to the bottom of the inning.
All right, Joseph, we have given you a draft nugget that I've picked up in my preparation for the draft each day.
Love these.
And so today I got a little one on J.C. Latham. Who is J.C. Latham? J.C. Latham is the second highest rated tackle in this draft. Why is that important? He is the right tackle who played at Alabama this past year. Highly regarded. Highly regarded. Why is all of this important? Well, if you read the signs from Jim Harbaugh, it is clear that he wants to build on the lines. This is what he does. He wants to run the ball. He wants to build on the offensive and defensive lines. This is what he does. So at the fifth pick, they have a chance at the guy, Joe Alt from Notre Dame, who is universally regarded as the top tackle in this draft. Latham would be a guy that if the Chargers were to trade back, they would probably be looking at 11 or 12 in that range if Minnesota or Oakland was going to try, or Las Vegas, I should say, is going to try to move up. So here's a little nugget I picked up on J.C. Latham. You ready?
I'm ready.
Right tackle, Alabama Crimson Tide. Really talented. This is from somebody that's, you know, that is aware of the situation. A talent evaluator, let's call them. Really talented, exceptionally athletic, might have some maturity issues. One team that is evaluating him said he took every sixth play basically off. Okay? And there's an important sequence to look at. Season on the line, he got blown up. And when I mean season on the line, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the Rose Bowl against Michigan. Overtime, fourth and goal at the Michigan 3. Remember this?
Oh, I remember this.
Jalen Milroe ran the football up the middle. Who made the tackle? The defensive end, who absolutely blew off the line J.C. Latham and slid inside and made the tackle. Okay? So season on the line, he didn't come up big in that spot. He may not get it yet. He is talented. He did get better as the season went along, but there are maturity issues there. So I ask you this question with that kind of knowledge. Do you think that's a Jim Harbaugh type of player, especially considering in crunch time, Jim Harbaugh saw his own guy, who is not a top pick overall, blow him up and make a big play?
No, that is not a Harbaugh guy. Harbaugh wants tough. Harbaugh doesn't need you to be the most talented guy. Harbaugh does not need you to be the most physically imposing guy. Harbaugh is all about what's on the inside. What kind of heart do you have? What do your guts look like? What's your mentality? Right? Like, that's what he wants, because he knows he can coach those guys up. He can put players in a position to win games. He just needs guys who fit what he's looking for. And toughness is ultimately what it's about. Competitiveness, right? Like, that's Jim Harbaugh in a nutshell. Are you going to compete? If you're coming downstairs in the morning at the same time as your little brother and you both want Lucky Charms, are you going to compete to get that box first? If you are, you're a Charger, son. If you're not, beat it. We need people who want that box of Lucky Charms first. That's how he thinks. So when you're talking about a guy who's off every sixth play, who's not out there competing, who Harbaugh scouted intimately in the buildup to that Rose Bowl matchup, and who got blown up on the biggest play of the game, maybe there's more here that we don't necessarily know, but that does not strike me as a guy that Harbaugh would be overwhelmed to draft, given what he's looking for in a player.
Now, remember what we told you about Joe Alt, that at Notre Dame, as a true freshman, late in the season for the bowl game, he was playing left tackle, and they wanted to move him back over to right tackle because the starting left tackle, who is Blake Fisher, also in this draft, had gotten healthy. And what did Joe Alt say? No, I'm the left tackle. And they said, well, we're going to move you over there. He said, you can move me. I'm not playing. I'm the left tackle. And that showed the coaching staff at Notre Dame an awful lot. Like, they love that. That sounds like a Harbaugh player.
Yes, sir. And I got to throw something out there, and this might be a bit off topic, but Joe Alt, I mean, the most obvious nickname of all time for an offensive lineman is out there for him, but I don't know if someone's already got it, and I would just be repeating someone else's work.
So I don't have it. I'm blanking on this.
It might not be out there. He might not have a nickname. I think I've come up with something great, but I don't want to steal someone else's work if it exists.
Okay.
Does anyone know what I would be going with? His name's Joe Alt. Does anyone... He's an offensive lineman. He would be erasing defensive linemen from their pass rush. He would be Joe Control Alt Delete.
Delete.
What do we think? We don't like it?
I think it's a lot of work.
A lot of work, yeah. There's a lot to it.
It's a long way home there.
What about just Joe Alt Delete?
Joe Alt Delete?
Yeah. Cut it down a little bit.
That resonates with me, obviously, but do enough people know what that means?
Yeah, Joe Alt deletes the defensive player. Like, it works on two levels, because even if you don't get the reference, you understand why you're saying Joe Alt delete.
And isn't it common to say Control Alt delete in that order? So that if we're changing it around, then it's a Joe Alt Control Delete. You know, it feels...
Who was saying that?
I don't know. Me.
Why would we change the order of the word?
Because the guy's last name is Alt.
Yeah,
so I want that to be the first thing after Joe.
Control Alt Delete.
But Control's not part of his name.
It's part of the nickname. Are you new here? Is this too much for you? It feels like this is too much for you. We pitched something, and then Evan chimed in and tried to find a way to make it better. That's normally how these things go. We take an idea, and we try to make it better. You are just dragging it back down into the swamp. That's all you're doing. Joe, control, alt, delete. How about if it's Joe, alt, control, Joe, alt? How does that sound, everybody?
That's a winner!
Oh, I completely forgot. I was too busy with the game.
Motor City. The Detroit Tigers go down quietly in the fifth.
Yes.
Texas minus a half run.
We did it.
Paying off at plus 115.
Yes, we can. That's, hey, by the way, buddy, you're red hot right now. That's three in a row for you on the day betting alerts.
I tell you, I said this off the air. To me, this is a house money season for the Rangers. They can do no wrong. But I was getting aggravated with some of those at-bats. And the only thing that can bring me into that is gambling. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Another winner on a little day betting alert. Is someone about to steal the MVP from Nikola Jokic for a second year in a row? That's next, baby. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Little baseball action for you tonight. Dodgers hosting the Nationals. We're going to go Dodgers run line, which is minus 1.5 runs. We have to win by two or more. It's at a price of minus 120. So why would we be so excited to play this? Two reasons. Number one, last night the Dodgers were a ridiculous minus 390 favorite against Washington. Minus 390. That is a huge. I think it's the biggest favorite we've had all season. They lost that game outright. Outright. So I think you're going to have a little bit more of a focused effort here tonight. But more importantly, look who's pitching for the Washington Nationals. Ladies and gentlemen, it is what we on ESPN Bet Live, ESPN 2, 6 p.m. Eastern tonight, commonly refer to as Patrick Corbin Day. Patrick Corbin is your starting pitcher for the Washington Nationals. This season so far, four or more earned runs in all three starts, ERA of 8.44. Last year, ERA of 5.2. Year before that, ERA of 6.3. Year before that, ERA of 5.8. Betting against Patrick Corbin has been quite profitable over the years. Last 4 years, he is 25-52 as a starter in Major League Baseball.
Worth every penny.
Pizza money number four, I believe this is. Dodgers run line, minus 120 over the Washington Nationals.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speakers. If you're not following us on social media, by all means, you need to be doing that. At Jay Fortenbaugh over on Instagram, at That Guy Carlin on Instagram as well. Joseph, we all have been operating under the assumption for several weeks now that Nikola Jokic is going to win the MVP yet again. If I'm not mistaken, this would be his third MVP. And with that in mind, there has been in years past, well, specifically last year, where some felt that the MVP was stolen from him by Joel Embiid. Now, he has been a heavy favorite here, I don't know, 6 weeks probably. That's where he separated himself from everybody else. Is it actually possible that Embiid or that Jokic could have the MVP stolen from him this year?
I think so, because when you're talking about these awards, they're voted on by humans, and humans are subjected to several different types of biases that can go ahead and influence the way in which they look at this thing. Last year, I felt that Jokic was the MVP, but the last 2 weeks of the season, he missed a couple games, didn't put up ungodly numbers. Joel Embiid closed extraordinarily strong. The voters went with Embiid. I thought that was a mistake. And then the playoffs started, and Embiid flamed out immediately, and Jokic played awesome and won a title. Now, I understand it's not a postseason award, but in terms of value, it was on full display in the postseason, and the voters got it wrong. So now, here we go this year. Jokic has had an incredible season. His team is a two seed. They've won a lot of games. His numbers are extraordinary. And when you look at all the advanced metrics that measure value, he's at the top of all of them. But what do you say about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Because his numbers are insane. And the thing is, his team won more games than Denver. They're the number one seed in the Western Conference. There's a case to be made there. Like everyone in Dallas trying to make the case for Luka, yeah, it's fantastic, the numbers, but they're a five seed. You got to win more games. Oklahoma City won a lot of games, Carlin.
And I think we would also agree that Luka also had the added benefit, as amazing as he is, of getting somebody like Kyrie, where Kyrie has played exceptionally well with Luka. And maybe that takes a little bit away from Luka in that. But you know who's in agreement with you?
Who's that?
Stephen A. Smith.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should be the NBA MVP. I know how Jokic, how great Jokic.
Yeah.
I get that. I understand that. You know what I'm saying? I see Luka. I see the show that he's putting on, led the league in scoring. Absolutely spectacular. Let me throw these numbers by you, please. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander averaged 30.9 points per game, second in the NBA. Career high 54.4% shooting from the field. Led the league in steals with 2.1 a game. Career high 6.4 assists per game. This is what we're talking about here. The number one seed in the Western Conference, second youngest team in the NBA. There's nothing to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should be the league MVP. No doubt.
Everything you just said, he just said.
Well, to be clear, I think Jokic should be the MVP. I just think there is a case to be made that it could be stolen from him by SGA at the end of the year. I do believe that. It is a very competitive race. Let me throw one thing at you real quick. This is an idea from my friend Raheem Palmer. All right, you can find him. He works with Simmons over at The Ringer. He does a tremendous job. He's a very smart mind. He pitched an idea that voting in the NBA on these awards should no longer take place at the end of the year like it is right now. Greeny's been talking about this because Greeny has a vote. What he thinks is at the end of each month during the season, you should cast a ballot and all the points should be added up over the course of the season. Think of it like boxing. You're scoring each round individually. And then at the end of the year, we have now eliminated recency bias from the equation. We've eliminated the idea of someone closing strong. We've accounted for the season in what? Like six different rounds of betting, seven different rounds, whatever it may be. And that would be your way for voting for these awards. How would you feel about that?
I don't hate it. And I have to tell you, like, I have always been one that has thought, well, maybe we need to think about doing this after the season, but I think even after the postseason. But I think more and more and more were affected by recency bias. And so am I automatically, year in and year out, going to end up giving the MVP to somebody that wins the championship? You know, I don't necessarily want to do that. So I like it. I like it very much. Because just look at how, just in the last 3 months, as we were talking about, how much the markets have changed at this.
Yeah.
You know, dramatically. I like it. Which I like the idea a lot because it does provide context for the entire season and representation for the entire season.
And another note on this topic, this has reminded me that I have a series of Jason Tatum MVP bets that are coming due.
Yeah, I have one that's already been taken care of. And another on Jalen Brunson. You know, maybe we could start that argument a little bit, but I guess not. Probably a little, it's like horse might be out of the barn on that.
We got to get people involved. We got to get the talking points involved earlier.
When are we going to start making this show more about our own personal profit?
It's,
honestly,
it's no longer Carlin versus Joe. We're just going to call it Join Propaganda, noon to three. Weekdays, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Also on TuneIn.
Make sure to get in the iHeart. The task for the Golden State Warriors, quite clear. Win two road games, get to the postseason. But can they actually do it? That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Final pizza money of the night. I watched everybody on GetUp take the Lakers this morning to beat the Pelicans. I will be going the other way. Give me the Pelicans -1.5. Not because I'm betting against everybody on GetUp, but because I think it's a good spot for New Orleans, to be completely honest with you. I keep going back to the year 2020-2021. So I guess I should say the season 2020-2021, because that would be 2 years. It was the year that in the final game of the regular season, the Golden State Warriors blew out the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant by 12 points. Steph Curry was shaking on the court. They were loving it. Everyone was having a good time. And then a few days later, they met in the Western Conference play-in. Loser goes home. And the Memphis Grizzlies went to San Francisco and beat the Warriors on their home court by 5 in overtime. All right. People get caught up in what they just saw, which was on Sunday, the Lakers blowing out the Pelicans in New Orleans. Well, this game is in New Orleans as well. And what happened on Sunday was that the Lakers shot 55% from the field. Their season average is 49%. Could see some regression there. They also shot 94% from the free throw line. Season average is 78%. Could see some regression there. They were +4 in turnover differential, and they led by 32 points at one point in that game. New Orleans was embarrassed. I think they had a series of team meetings, the old come to Jesus moment. I think you're going to get a spirited effort tonight. And while the entire world is on the Lakers, Joe Fortenbaugh likes the Pelicans -1.5.
The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in, play in action tonight. We've got the Kings hosting the Warriors, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 9:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I think there's one thing about the Warriors that's not talked about enough. I get that they have played very well over the last 40 games, and specifically winning, what, 9 out of 10, 10 of 11, whatever it was, to close out the regular season. Joe, the play-in factor of doing all of that work just to get to the 10 seed, are they capable? Well, capable is not the right word. Are they going to win two straight road games to get to the 8 seed and have an opportunity to get to the Thunder in round one? I think it's asking an awful lot. And this is part of why. Listen to Draymond on the Draymond Green Show talking about the play-in tournament and why there's a little love-hate there.
I hate the play-in, just so you all. I absolutely hate it. It's the best thing ever created. When you look at the play-in and what it's done for basketball, it's the best thing ever created. I don't know who came up with it. I know Bron said they need to be fired. If they were fired when Bron said that, they need to get their job back, because the play-in is insane. Like, since the NBA has added the play-in, it's taken the last month and a half of the season to a totally different level. Like, totally different. And so, I hate the play-in. I especially hate being a 10 seed, but as much as I hate it as a basketball player, as a basketball fan, this play-in is nuts, and you gotta love it.
What in the hell is he saying? What is he saying?
He's saying he loves it as a fan, but as a player, he hates it.
So where do you stand on it?
So like,
where do you stay? I kind of hate it in one regard, and I kind of love it in the other. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to
take. I think what he's saying is he loves watching everybody else have to do it as a basketball fan, but if he's involved in it, especially as a 10 seed, he absolutely hates his chances.
He's on his ass at home if there's no play-in. They're the 10 seed. He is on his ass at home if there's no play-in. If there's anyone who should be making the case for why they love it, it's Draymond Green and the members of the Warriors who are the 10 seed. They're the equivalent of the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference. Like, you should be stoked the play-in exists because it's the only chance you have of making a run at a title. I don't get any of that. I know we were trying to talk about something different here. Why would he hate the play-in? I guess the point is because it's so stressful, it's do or die.
Yeah.
But without the play-in, you're at home. You're eliminated.
It's stressful for a player because you have to go through that, then you have to go through the next game if you're in this spot that he's in, either the 9 or 10, 10 especially on the road, and then there's the added stress of going to the first round and playing the number one seed.
It's not stressful. Stressful is trying to pay bills each month. Stressful is trying to wonder if you have a job in 6 months. Stressful is not, can I survive the play-in? Like, they're all fine. They're all fine. This is a great situation. You have a chance to play some basketball in a meaningful game that all of us care about and want to watch. And if you win, you get to advance. And if you win again, you get into the real playoffs. I don't get any of that. I don't get what he's trying to say there. I would have thought he would have been over the moon for the play-in because otherwise the Warriors are eliminated. They would have been eliminated a while ago.
The whole concept of the play-in is we're going to keep you alive, but we're not going to make it easy for you. Because if you couldn't earn it during the regular season, we'll give you one last shot at it, but we're not going to make it easy. I don't think he's talking about stress in the grand scheme. And far be it from me to ever defend Draymond on these comments. But that's how I took it. Let's put it that way.
All right, we can move on. I don't need to get too bogged down in it.
The second part of this, though, is the Warriors' ability to win two games on the road. Now, this morning, I was really leaning more towards Sacramento. But, you know, I took a little deeper look at things. And I'm like, yeah, the Warriors probably going to win tonight.
Out of curiosity, can you share with us what this deeper look was? I'd love to know.
It's a few different things. It's how they played down the stretch of the season. It is looking at the effect that the absence of Malik Monk has had, all of that. And really, if we're being truthful, the Kings have not been nearly as impressive this season. And then you hit me with the Sabonis stuff off the air about how he hasn't played particularly well against the Warriors, which frankly was something that I did not remember from last year.
Yeah.
So it was all of that.
They play him very, very well. And that's mostly Draymond. He deserves his flowers because Draymond poses major matchup problems for Sabonis, who, by the way, is a lot taller, but for some reason just can't handle Draymond Green.
So was that enough for you?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Okay. Well, there you go.
This is Chris Carlin.
You know what I am? Open-minded. Look into it. Look into it.
So to win two in a row on the road, I mean, I
think
guess
it's very difficult, especially if they are asked to go down and win in Los Angeles.
That was going to be the follow-up. So you would rather take on a New Orleans team. So the assumption is you beat the Kings tonight, and then you would rather have to go to New Orleans and take on a Pelicans team that lost a big game Sunday against the Lakers, then had a chance to right the wrong, beat the Lakers Tuesday night and get into the playoffs, blew that game, and now you get them when they're reeling rather than go down to LA and take on the Lakers.
Exactly.
Okay. I would probably agree with that as well. I just think at some point, like, it would click for the Pelicans. Like, are you going to flame out three games in a row at the end of the season? It's happened before. But if you're the Warriors, that's probably the path you want. I mean, Golden State's been much better on the road this season than last. Last year, it was a serious problem for them on the road. They had a losing record. A lot of people attribute it to Draymond punching out Jordan Poole because when you're on the road, that's when all the bonding takes place. That's when the players are going to dinner. That's when the players are, you know, playing cards or whatever in their room. That's when you're bonding. And they were awful on the road last season, and a lot of people thought it was that. This year, 25-16 on the road. Better than the Lakers. Better than the Kings, better than the Phoenix Suns, tied with the Dallas Mavericks, tied with the LA Clippers, better than the Denver Nuggets. Like, the Warriors had a better road record this season than Denver did.
Let's go into a hypothetical for a moment. Let's say, hypothetically, Joe Fortenbaugh was a betting man.
Okay, I'll indulge.
Would Joe Fortenbaugh right now bet on the Warriors winning two games in a row on the road?
Depending on the price you give me, yes. Yeah, I would bet that.
Price aside, just right now, Warriors are going to win these two games and be the 8 seed.
No, I would not bet that. Now that I think about it, no, because I like New Orleans tonight, so that would mean the Warriors draw the Lakers, and I just feel that if the officiating makes its presence known, it's going to be more in favor of LeBron. I believe it's LeBron, Ramon,
LeBron
James,
and Steph?
Than
I mean,
Wardell, Steph Curry. It's close. No, you got a great play. It's close. It is a close draw there, but I think tie goes to LeBron.
I really am having trouble finding a scenario, even as good as they have been in the second half of the season, and especially the last 10 days or 10 games or so, for the Warriors to win two on the road.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.